Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on Acast. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. A companion post to this episode containing show notes appears on deadspin.com, and you should send your questions about cleaning, or anything else really, to joliekerr@gmail.com, or just chat with me in the comments at Deadspin. My guest today is Gizmodo Media Group's Sam Woolley, who has the very important job of handling most of the art for Deadspin. He is much beloved by literally all of us, and I'm so excited to have him join me as we spend an entire episode sticking to sports. Hey, Sam.
Hi.
Good to have you here.
Good to be
here.
Are
you excited to stick to sports?
That's all I do.
I subjected my listeners to an entire month in September of all laundry. It was called Laundry School. And so I was like, all right, I got to throw them a bone in October. So I did. I literally threw them a bone in the first episode of October. We did dogs. And then today I figured since I had you here, we would do all sports stuff.
Awesome. Batter up.
And yeah, I'm excited about it. Actually, I did a little mining of my Ask a Clean Person folder to figure out which sport generated the most questions.
Okay.
And probably surprising to people who aren't avid listeners or followers of mine, but not surprising to those who are, the top sport was hockey.
Whoa.
Because I do a lot about hockey.
Gotcha.
Because I did this like monster 3,000 word like masterwork on cleaning hockey gear back during the Tommy Craggs era.
Okay.
And then I've spun that off into like a lot of other content. So the second one though was baseball, but I had to put an asterisk beside it, which I was really excited that it took an asterisk because every question was actually just about a baseball cap.
Nice.
Which doesn't really count as baseball because it wasn't like from playing the game.
Gotcha.
Can you guess what the next one after baseball was? It was obscure and great.
I was going to say football.
Nope, that was actually
the
last.
That's why I'm doing the way you said that.
Oh, yeah.
Now I know I'm detective work in it. I'm going to say something with pads if the first one was hockey.
Yep.
Curling.
No, but that, but I wish it was. Roller derby.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, lot of roller derby questions. Actually, one of my first posts at Jezebel was about roller derby pads.
Whoa.
Yeah, back when I was still at Jez. So anyway, hey, you guys, before we get into it, before we stick to sports, I want to remind you that I offer bonus episodes and all sorts of other cool rewards to my premium subscribers. If you would like to help underwrite my show by becoming an Ask a Clean Person, the podcast patron, go to patreon.com/askacleanperson to check out all the packages I'm offering and to select the level of giving that's right for you. Your support helps me so much, and I'd love to hear from you if there are rewards you'd like me to consider making available. Speaking of patrons, I have some new patrons to thank this week, and I also want to give a shout out to literally all of you. I actually surpassed my September patron challenge goal, and so on the bonus episode today, I will be regaling Sam and all of you with the story of the grudge I've been holding since 1981. Sam is very excited about it. Alrighty, so here are my my new patrons to thank this week. Actually, quite a lot of you. Patricia Wachtman, Amanda M., Alex Duzik, Eric Graham, Doug Urban, Brandon Conley, Johanna O'Connor, Nicole Mitchell Duff, Madison Richard, Tally Ben Daniel, Michael Binkley, Mary Tartier, and then I have three kind of special ones to give shout outs to. These were people who pledged a special amount that they knew would tickle my funny bone in just the right place, and it sure did. So the first one up is a big thank you to David Hicks, who pledged $2.69. Nice.
A good one.
I have a bunch of people who have pledged $6.90 too. That's like, because they know I'm such an immature little idiot that I'll laugh every single time.
I'm giggling inside right now, and I see your eyes are kind of watering up because this is really funny in like 12-year-old us right now. So,
and I am a 12-year-old. I mean, you know, Sam's known me for so long, and he's worked with me so long. He knows like exactly my deal. And actually, we just traveled together for the first time. And so, in the bonus episode, in addition to me telling this story, we're also going to talk about our travels to Dallas.
It was great.
It was amazing. Yeah,
beautiful people.
We have crazy stories. I'm covered in bruises.
Ooh. Oh wow. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to know about this.
Okay. And also, big thank you goes to Mary Gray Mahoney and Liz Otero, both of whom pledged $4.20. Love you, gals. Thank you so much for doing that. So thank you to all my patrons. And we're really excited to do today's bonus episode, which should be a real trip. Before we get into it, though, we've got a whole host of sports-related questions. This is my, like, tribute to Deadspin episode. I'm super excited about it. I'm going to have Sam read the first question from Omar.
Okay. Before that, what's my motivation for Omar?
It's a good question. He tweeted this at me, if that helps you.
Okay. So, all right. So Omar who tweets.
Yes.
Hi. I thought that would be a good Omar who tweets voice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hi. What's the best way to clean my bowling towels? They're covered with dirt and oil.
I love this question. I literally retweeted it, and I was like, the next time one of you yells at me to stick to sports, I'm going to, like, shove this tweet down your throat.
Omar.
Like, yeah. Okay. So, actually, there's a pretty simple answer to this, because we're talking about a combination of oil, sort of greasy, oily stains, and basically heavy soiling. We want to use two different products. We want to use a detergent that is formulated to be very good on heavily soiled items, which the bowling towel would fall into the category of heavily soiled. And if you guys listen to Laundry School, you heard me give, I think at least three episodes worth of explanations about heavy soiling. Heavy soiling is just a term that we use in the industry for particularly dirty laundry. So the detergent that I want to really strongly recommend for heavy soiling is Tide Ultra Stain Release. That stuff is so good. I have a bottle of it. It's a huge bottle, so I don't lug it to the laundromat every time I do laundry. But when I need to do something that's particularly dirty, or when I need to soak something that's been stained or soiled, that is the first thing I reach for. The other thing to use for the grease portion is a pre-treating product. You guys, if you're regular listeners, you already know what's coming. My old favorite, Lest Oil. You can also use Pine Sol. Pine Sol and Lest Oil are very, very similar products. What you'll do is you'll dab a bit of those products right onto the greasy stains. If the whole towel itself is covered in grease stains, you can just add the Lest Oil right into the wash with the detergent and let it run through the cycle. So one caveat that I need to give about Lest Oil that I've discovered, I probably started hearing about it maybe 6-9 months ago, and a couple of people have reported this, so I think it's important enough to note that if you have an HE, a high efficiency washer, do not use the Lest Oil or Pine Sol. What ends up happening is, because of the low water levels in HE situations, the smell of those products doesn't fully wash out, and you'll end up with a pretty strong smelling Lest Oil or Pine Sol smelling towel. So skip the Lest Oil if you're doing HE, or you know, go to a laundromat and use a laundromat machine if you need to.
Where do you get Lest Oil from, for someone who doesn't know much about Lest Oil?
So my source for it is, there's this sort of funny little dry goods like supermarket in my neighborhood where I see it. I also often see it at the bodegas here in New York. It can be a little tricky to find. The grocery store is a great spot for it. Hardware stores are also a great spot for it. But if you can't, you can buy it on Amazon. If you can't find the Lest Oil, because again, Lest Oil is made by the Clorox company, and it's not a product that they really particularly promote. It doesn't even have its own standalone website or anything. So it's not super, super easy to find. But if you can't find it, just get the Pine Sol.
Gotcha.
Pine Sol's fine. I just happen to use the Lest Oil because I learned about Lest Oil from my best friend's aunt, who is a real clean person. And so, you know, sometimes when you get a product recommendation from someone older and more knowledgeable, you just kind of hang on to it. So that's why I use the less oil. But the pine salt will be just fine, too. So I do want to mention also, though, that Omar's towels sound like they probably have been laundered a bunch of times and maybe have the older sudden stains. So I've got a couple of suggestions for what I think he should do if he needs to bring those towels back up to like almost brand new looking. And what I would suggest is pre-soaking the towels, you know, fill the kitchen sink up, bathroom sink, whatever, wherever you have a vessel that's big enough to fill with water, submerge the towels and get your hands in there. Fill it about halfway up with water. Throw in a little bit of that Tide Ultra Stain Release and some OxiClean. Or if the towels are white and don't have any stitching or embroidery on them in a color, you can use Cascade, the dishwasher powder, which you guys have heard me talk about as sort of like the nuclear option for getting rid of old set-in stains. I talked about that one again a lot in laundry school. And I would just soak those towels, then drain the wash water, take a picture of the wash water and tweet it at me. Always, always, always do that. You know I love it for Wash Water Wednesday. Do you know about that?
No, I'm fascinated. Please, do tell.
So I have a hashtag. So I have this thing that's been going on. I think actually it started with the hockey pads.
Okay.
That people will soak items that are heavily soiled, like pre-soak them in the manner that I just described, and they'll take photos of the dirty wash water.
Ooh.
And they send it to me, and it started turning into this thing, especially on Twitter, that people tweet them at me, and I love them.
Omar tweets.
I totally, totally live for these photos. Like, the different hues of the wash water is fascinating, and like, what people are soaking and how relatively filthy they are. Like, it's just, I don't know, it just turns me on. You know, I'm deeply, deeply weird. And so I realized I was getting so many of them consistently that I was like, this needs a hashtag. So it's hashtag Wash Water Wednesday. And what I do is I just throughout the week, I just save the links of what people have sent me on Wednesdays. I retweet them all with the hashtag and like little commentary from me. And
do you have a folder at home that's only these photos for Washtag Wednesday?
No, because I actually don't hang on to them. You know, they're in tweets from that people send to me. So yeah, no, I don't. I don't like going and look at them at night, like fantasize about
them. It's Thursday. I don't know if I can look at these.
But yeah, no, I have a whole little like system for saving them out, and like, yeah, it's really fun. Here's the thing: it gets people into the spirit of doing hand washing and long soaking. That normally they would kind of look at and be like, oh, I don't want to do this. But then they're like, oh, I can send Jolie the wash water.
That's
like,
so cool.
She gets off on this, you know. So in any event, so that's Wash Water Wednesday. So, yeah, I would go ahead and soak those towels, you know, for an hour, 2-3 hours up to overnight, depending on how soiled they are. Drain the wash water, wring them out, and just throw them right into the wash and launder as usual. Two tips I got to give you. One is a safety warning. I just read this story in American Laundry News.
Wow.
Sam's face just like slid up. Actually, I have a funny Deadspin story for you about that. On my way to the airport to go to Dallas, I was, you know, scrolling through Twitter in my cab.
Did we leave on a Wednesday, though? I'm just curious.
I actually did leave on a Wednesday.
Wow. My mind is...
Well, and the thing is that I actually started my vacation on Tuesday because I had a friend in town. And so I called my vacation starting on Tuesday through Monday. And I literally made an announcement on Twitter. I'm like, I'm not answering questions. I'm off the clean clock. Like, I need a break. I'm burnt out. And I did my best. I worked, you know, and I was with, I was with coworkers. I don't know why I thought I was going to like have a break from work with an entire table of GMG people at this wedding we were at.
Great table, though.
Great table. So anyway, I'm in the cab and, I'm looking through Twitter and I see American Laundry News has the editor-in-chief of American Dry Cleaner is at a dry cleaning convention in Singapore, and his name is Tim Burke, spelled the way of our Tim Burke.
Awesome.
And I texted Hannah Kaiser, Lindsay Adler, and Diana Moskovich, and I was like, you guys, do you think this is Burke's secret identity? And we came up with like a whole conspiracy theory. I was like, I know it's not him, but actually I would not be remotely surprised if he secretly was moonlighting as the editor of American Dry Cleaner. Like
he's from Florida.
I would believe anything of Tim Burke. I have to get him on this show.
He's fantastic man.
He is amazing. He's one of my absolute favorites. Absolute favorites. So anyway, that was my little...
After you, of course.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Well, I'm not staff, so like... You can always asterisk.
Staff?
You can
staff?
Always asterisk me as like Ooh. Favorite freelancer.
Oh,
know?
I like that.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, so back to American Laundry News. So I follow American Laundry News on Twitter. And so actually, I have to say, it's a fascinating account. Like there are all these weird and wonderful stories that come out. There was one about a high school football team. I forget. I want to say maybe in like Wisconsin. That does their own laundry. Their coach drives them to the laundromat and has them all launder their uniforms together. And it's like the super bonding experience for them. And it's like, it's cute. Yeah. Anyway, but there was this kind of scary story a couple of days ago about a huge laundry fire that happened because there were greasy rags in industrial laundry that was dropped off with this laundromat that wasn't flagged as hazardous. And it ended up creating a huge fire in the washing machines because the grease combined with the electricity and the friction created sparks and it turned into this huge fire. So I want to just give you guys a warning. If you're washing something very greasy, please pre-rinse it. You can just use dish soap. You can just rinse it out right in your kitchen sink under running water. Just rinse it. I don't have an abundance of caution. I don't think the bowling towels rise to that level, but I just always want to give you guys, you know, your war. I want to scare you to death, basically. The way that my mother scared me to death when I was growing up. The other little tip I have to give you guys is if the bowling towels are microfiber rather than terry cloth, you should not use chlorine bleach on microfiber ever, and you should not use fabric softener, not the liquid stuff, not the dryer sheet stuff. So there are the rules. All right, so we're going to move on. Oh, you're going to like this next question. It's from someone we know.
Oh, that you know, it's funny. I saw this name, and I might have thought this was him, but
it is.
I'm still blown away that there is a cleaning convention in Singapore, which is
there are actually like a lot of cleaning conventions, and I've never written for the kind of publication that would send me to one, but now I think that there's a place that I'm writing for that might actually send me to one of these conventions just to like see what it's like. I want to be a keynote speaker. I feel like I should be a keynote speaker at, you know, the American Cleaning Institute convention. They follow me on Twitter. They've included me in their newsletter. Like, I'd be a hoot and a holler.
Only in Singapore.
They could send me to Singapore for sure. Okay, so let me have you read this question from our pal. This is our literal pal who asked this question leading up to the wedding we went to. He really wants to come on the show.
He's a talker.
He's asked every time I've seen him, he's like, so when am I coming on the show? And I'm like, I think I'm going to actually try to have him on in January to talk about cohabitating. And he's threatening to bring Biddle.
Ooh.
And talking about move in, move out, clean, because they live together. Yeah, I know. I was like, if you can bring Biddle, you're in.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry. I'm playing that episode in my head right now.
This is
pretty great. Okay, so I'm trying to think now to refresh with his voice, like what character. But I know this character, so I can play him pretty well. What is the best way to clean golf clubs? That right there just defined who he was, by the way.
Yes, okay. It sure did.
What is the best way to clean golf clubs? Need them for a wedding?
Wedding we were at.
You can't see, but we're just, my eyes are, I think it's three or four times I've looked at you with these bulging eyes here. But what is the best way to clean golf clubs? Need them for a wedding and want to make sure they looked perfect.
Of course he does.
Yeah.
So the question actually came up. He emailed me after we were at Leslie's 30th birthday party when I climbed on you.
Okay.
You guys, Sam is my coworker. I was only a half a glass of wine deep, too. I was not drunk when I did
that. You had a bruise, too, a huge.
I got a cut on my leg from it because it was a metal chair. You guys, I was hungry. I had just come from recording. I forget. Actually, I was recording with Giddy.
Oh,
episode. It was a great. Giddy was a great guest.
Great
I'm excited
man.
To have him come back. I really, really like him so much.
I'm pushing for Sammer, though. That's the one I want is Sammer.
You want Sammer on the show?
I'd love Sammer.
I love Sammer, too. So, you guys, Sammer Califf is my CleanCast post editor at Deadspin. I actually asked him when he officially sort of took responsibility for me, which thank God, because I needed someone. I needed like a real human to take responsibility for me. I asked him if he wanted to come on, and he was like really, really, really opposed to it. And I was like, listen,
That's why I said that.
I know. And I was like, I'm not going to ever pressure you. I'm not going to make you do anything you don't want to do. So I think he's probably a no. But yeah, I mean, I think he would be great if he decides he wants to come, he is certainly always welcome.
Or I'll leak his phone number.
Yeah. Don't do that. We have to be nice to Sammer. I love Sammer. Okay. Where was I? Golf clubs. All right. Golf clubs are actually pretty easy. There are some things to do. There are some things you shouldn't do. So I'm going to go over both of them. Water is the way you clean golf clubs. You want to use a soft bristled brush of some sort to get into the grooves. An old like soft bristled toothbrush would be great for that. A soft bristled nail brush, like, you know, the ones that you use to get the dirt out from under your fingernails. Those would be great. Yeah. Anything stiffer than that is maybe going to cause some issues with scratching. There are golf club brushes that exist. You don't need them. You know, like Callaway and all the big brands sell these, like, you know, bespoke golf club brushes for cleaning. You don't need them, but if you want them, they range probably in the like $8 to $20 range, depending on what they are. If you want one, because it
matches your bag
or something, yeah. Great. The other reason I mentioned them is that actually, because the holidays are coming up, they're actually nice little gifts for someone as like an add-on for someone who's getting, you know, a new club or a new set of clubs, or is it just a big golfer, a good stocking stuffer, good like little...
If somebody gave me that for a Christmas gift, I'd be so pissed.
Well, I mean, no one's going to give that to you because you're not quite the...
I want that bowling towel.
But I feel like Berger would be psyched to get like a legit, like, dedicated, like... He doesn't want to use the toothbrush. He wants the actual, like, Callaway golf club brush. So, you know your audience, guys. But I want, you know, as the holidays are starting to come up, that's a good little gift to think about. One site to mention if you're looking for those kinds of brushes is golfgalaxy.com. I was cruising golfgalaxy.com this morning at, like, 6:30 a.m. in bed while I was drinking my coffee and doing my show notes. So it was like... What has my life come to? What has death been done to me? Why am I looking at golfgalaxy.com? Like, who am I? I'm Julie Kerr. I'm wearing, like, ridiculous big hoops. I have bleach blonde hair. I have, like, super pink lipstick on and golfgalaxy.com. Like, how has this happened? And I live for it, of course. Okay, so water and a soft bristled brush is really going to be pretty much all you need. You might also want to use some microfiber. Microfiber comes in all different kinds of thicknesses, from like really, really thin, like the stuff that you use to clean, you know, your eyeglass lenses or sunglass lenses, all the way up to like big, fluffy, thick microfiber that's used for dusting. What I would suggest when it comes to clubs, is just to play around with different thicknesses and see what feels the most comfortable for you in terms of cleaning the clubs. One other thing to mention in terms of what not to use is don't use dish soap. So you'll see in like all these forums, people will be like, I use Dawn dish soap. Don't actually do that. It can dull and strip the finish, and you don't want that. If you find that you do need to use soap of some sort, use car wash soap. Ooh. This is going to make our pals at Jalopnik very happy to hear that we found another use for those giant, giant jugs of $8 car wash soap that they have that lasts them for a lifetime. Even Kristen Lee, who washes her car, you know, religiously. So you can use car wash soap on your golf clubs for sure if you need that. Let's talk separately about grips, because your grips should be cleaned in a different way. And obviously, because they're, you know, you've got them in your hands, it's a different kind of soiling that goes on. You're going to get, you know, dead skin and oil and sweat and just generalized grime from your hands on your grip. And that's actually going to affect the integrity of the grip. So what you want to use for the grip specifically is there are a couple of different options you can use. First of all, there are grip wipes that are on the market, you know, just like there are like Clorox bathroom wipes and all of those kinds of things. There are grip wipes. You can, again,
Callaway.
Right, yeah, golfgalaxy.com. I'm not being paid by golfgalaxy.com. I just think it's like such a funny name too. I don't know why it tickles me in just the way that it does, but it does. The other product to mention, and there are lots of these. This isn't the only brand. I like to keep my product recommendations to a reasonable number, but I do like to give brand names because I think it's helpful for you guys to hear, is Simple Green makes a golf club and grip cleaner. So don't use the regular Simple Green stuff. Simple Green can have somewhat of an odd reaction. I actually just learned this, I think from Jalopnik. Actually, yeah, from Jalopnik I just learned this, from the commenters on Jalopnik, that Simple Green has a negative reaction to aluminum. Not that your clubs are aluminum, but if they have, like, detailing on them or something, just don't take the risk of it. Make sure that you're getting the Simple Green golf club and grip cleaner. The other thing that you can do if you don't want to go and buy a specialty project, which I kind of encourage you not to do because you don't need them. But again, some people like to have them. They're nice little gifty items. They exist in the world, so I feel like I got to tell you about them, is you can just wash the grips with a mild detergent. Now, your tool of choice for washing the grips, if you're going to go the mild detergent route, so like, you know, a dish soap of Dr. Bronner's, any one of those, a little diluted liquid laundry detergent, those all fall into mild detergent. Dilute them in water. If you're cleaning cord or rubber grips, you want to use a soft brush. So the toothbrush, the nail brush, one of those type things. If you are washing a squishy grip,
that's where the eye shot up again, right there.
As I was reading that, I was like, oh, wow, this is getting very suggestive in here. You don't want to use a brush at all. You want to use a washcloth.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So.
But microfiber?
Terry cloth or microfiber, any soft cloth is fine. Old T-shirt,
awesome.
Fine.
What about a microfiber T-shirt?
Yeah. I don't know if they even make those. They must, right?
Callaway Golf.
Callaway definitely makes
from golfgalaxy.com. Big fan.
Exactly. One last thing to mention. I mean, if you're an avid golfer, you definitely know this, but if you're not, maybe this is just helpful to know. You can and should get your clubs re-gripped. It really depends on usage, but if you are a sort of semi or regular user, you know, at the end of the season, go ahead and get them re-gripped, because the grip will lose its tackiness. And as you lose your tackiness, you become quite tasteful. your game will suffer. Your game will suffer. And we don't want your game suffering. My dad's a big golfer, so I know, you know, don't mess with the game. I am not, as you might imagine, a big golfer.
So that was for you, Burger.
Burger, we love you, man. Or I love you. Sam's.
I like you. You're
good. I know. He's a great guy. He really is. He's a really great guy. All right, you guys, this is a good time for us to take a quick break. Sam and I will be right back, and we will continue to stick to sports. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr, and I'm joined by Deadspin's resident artist, Sam Woolley. We've been sticking to sports. This has been fun, actually.
It's a good time.
Yeah. I hope this nets me more sports questions, because it's fun for me. All right. I have another question. Actually, you guys, I'm gonna fess up. Not that it particularly matters, but I actually have used this question in a Deadspin column, but 1,000 years ago. It was literally in my first, like, 2 months at Deadspin in 2013. So I feel like the audience is, like, so different now. But if it sounds a little familiar, it's because it comes from a column about cleaning football gloves, which is what this question is, and karate gi, in which I made, like, a whole series of completely ridiculous Karate Kid jokes.
Great Scrabble word, too.
Oh, yeah. Very good Scrabble word. I'll tuck that away.
Yes.
All righty. So I'm going to have you read this next question from Zivan.
All right. Zivan. What's his motivation?
I don't even know.
Football season has just started here in my rather non-U.S. country, and I've pulled my lineman and receiver gloves out. He plays both positions.
Mm-hmm. Good for him.
That's Zevon from 2013.
He's versatile.
They stink. I do not understand. After last season, I turned them inside out, doused them liberally with talcum powder, and even hung them to dry for a couple of weeks. After that, I re-talcumed them and put them in my gear bag. Yes, it's dark, but not damp. What did I do wrong? Should I have changed the talcum powder, like a dressing every couple of weeks? I've heard things about whether I can wash them or not. Some recommend washing without detergent, some don't. The receiver gloves need to stay tacky, but the lineman gloves don't. Help! It was in caps, okay.
Yeah. I've got help us here. Help us here. So let's first start with the non-tacky gloves. With the tasteful gloves.
Gotcha.
We'll call them the tasteful gloves. So for the tasteful gloves, so let me tell you guys where Zevon went wrong. And this isn't like, you know, it's not like, oh my God, you've committed some cardinal sin here. It's no big deal. Basically, the issue is you use talcum powder, which doesn't really have odor-absorbing properties to it. So talcum is a stuff that I always tell you guys to use to pull the grease stains up out of things that you can't get wet. But it's not super great on odor. So that's where you went wrong with it. If you wanted to use a powdery substance, baking soda would have been the one that you want. But I'm also going to say I don't find baking soda to be a particularly good odor absorber. And actually, I should do a whole episode. People actually have asked me to do a whole episode on this. The reason that we believe that baking soda is this like magical odor absorber is because of a marketing campaign that Arm & Hammer put on in the 50s and 60s, I think it was. So it's actually like, it's amazing because we really all like believe it. But it's not that great. I have some things that I can recommend that are non-liquid odor absorbers that I'm going to talk about when we get into the tacky gloves. But let me talk about the tasteful gloves and how we're going to launder those. Because we're just going to launder them. So what we're going to do is we're just going to put them right in the washing machine. You can certainly hand wash them too. They're, you know, gloves are super easy to hand wash because like they're very small. And actually, my first Deadspin column, I don't even think you know this, my first Deadspin column was a question from someone who said it was a fake question, and I like called it out as being fake, and ooh. I was like, don't send me fake questions because I don't know. No, it wasn't Zevon. It was someone who said that she had been giving a hand job and got semen on a wool winter glove. And I was like, you don't give hand jobs with wool gloves on. Like, that's not the way. I don't know. And people are into everything, right?
Zevon anyway, goes both ways.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But I felt like, you know, for my first Deadspin column, I needed to lead with jizz. And I really haven't stopped with the jizz ever since.
Don't you ever change.
No, know your audience, Joels. Know your audience. Okay, so anyway, so back to the gloves. Gloves are super easy. If you're going to do the washing machine, put them in one of those washable mesh bags that I'm always going on and on about. One other thing with the gloves specifically, and this is true of really any kind of athletic gear that has Velcro closures, you want to seal the Velcro very carefully. So that it's really, really lined up and sealed very tight, because otherwise what will happen is the Velcro itself will kind of gather up lint from whatever else is in the wash. Ooh, and yeah. It'll affect the Velcro, and you don't want that. So fasten the Velcro so that it doesn't get linty, and then also so it doesn't snag on other things, which putting it in the mesh bag will also help to prevent that from happening. But you just want to be careful. In terms of the smell, not a bad idea to use a sports detergent. I use the Tide Sport Pods. I really like those. There are lots and lots of other sports detergents that are great. Sports Suds is one. Hex is another one that's great that I've used. Lots of those. The other thing you can do is you can just use your regular detergent and add a half a cup of white vinegar into the rinse cycle. That'll nuke the odors as well.
So I was waiting for vinegar.
Yeah, you knew vinegar was coming at some point. And OxyClean is coming right down the pike, so don't you worry. Yeah, don't panic, my friend. I'm hitting all the Jolie Care high notes in this episode.
I'm a fan.
If you're going to hand wash, as we've discussed in a couple of episodes recently, I've discovered via a lot of personal friends and readers and listeners actually trying this out and reporting back to me that Dr. Bronner's is excellent on odor elimination. It was a thing. I think I talked about this, that my friend had the the baby clothes that arrived with a very strong perfume scent.
Oof.
It was like a baby clothes swap. And she was like, I think they must have been using like a strongly scented detergent and fabric softener, but like it's really strong. And I was like, oh, just use Dr. Bronner's and it worked like a charm. Dr. Bronner's was also the thing that took the gasoline smell out of pants, which was a question that I wrote about for Jezebel way back in 2013 or 14. I think you might have done the art for it because it was a really creepy gif.
Interesting.
It was the gif was about the other question in the column that had something to do with something in the drain, and there was like a snake like writhing up off out of a drain. It was really
I'll take
creepy.
Credit.
Yeah, it seemed like a Sam Woolley extravaganza.
But I'm still thinking about the baby who's doused in perfume. I just see a little baby at a club just chilling.
Exactly. So the Dr. Bronner's is great. You can use that in the washing machine too. There's on the Dr. Bronner's website, there's what they call their dilution cheat sheet. So go check that out. First of all, the Dr. Bronner's website is a trip. It's like, it's so cool. And there's so much cool, weird information and great graphics and blah, blah, blah. But definitely check out that cheat sheet because it's really, really helpful. Another thing to mention, because, you know, I told you that I actually run this question in an old column. There were some comments and some guys weighed in on what they actually do. And one guy said that he hand washes his gloves in the kitchen sink with just OxyClean. Whoa. And that totally nukes all the odors for him. And so I want to pass that one on, too. So there we go. We got OxyClean in the middle. We got white vinegar. We're hitting all the high notes. It's great. All right. The tacky gloves. Probably it's okay to hand wash those. I wouldn't put them in the washing machine. I think that's probably going to be too much exposure to water and agitation. I think the hand washing will be fine. Do a quick, like a 5-minute hand washing. Should be A-okay. But if you feel like, it might compromise the tackiness of the gloves, I've got some things you can try. So the first two are liquid, but they're a misting type situation. You can use either vodka, which you should always use the cheap stuff for this operation. Save the good stuff for drinking. Save the cheap stuff for cleaning. Vodka or white vinegar. Just decant it into a spray bottle. Spritz the gloves from, you know, a distance of 6 to 8 inches. Let them air dry. Both of those will kill odors. They will not affect the tackiness of the gloves. The other two things that you can try that are strictly dry operation are if you have a cat, you can...
I don't.
No, I know you don't. Okay. you have the good sense not to have a cat.
Well played.
If you do have a cat, however, reminder, cat people, I tease because I love that you love your cats.
I don't, personally. Fuck your cat. Sorry, oh, no. I was trying not
oh,
to
you're
curse.
Gonna get in so much trouble with the cat people. Guys, go after Sam. Don't come after me.
Grow up.
You can bury the gloves in clean kitty litter.
Oh, wow.
Kitty litter is is designed to be odor absorbent for obvious reasons.
Gotcha.
And so it works great for things that you don't want to get wet. The other thing that works great and actually is one of the active ingredients in kitty litter that makes the litter so good at absorbing odors is active charcoal, which also goes by the name activated charcoal, active carbon, or activated carbon. You can find loose active charcoal at aquarium supply stores. It's often used in fish tanks.
Interesting.
So there you go. There are our football glove instructions, pretty straightforward, easy stuff. We've got one more question it's sports adjacent, but I picked it because, as we've mentioned, Sam and I just got back from Dallas, and it's kind of a Southwest food stuff staple. I ate a giant bowl of it one afternoon when I was out for cocktails I went for margaritas and queso with a girlfriend of mine in Dallas. So had queso on the mind.
This is Mike.
This is Mike.
And
Mike's motivation is queso.
Which should be everyone's motivation, in all honesty. Mike, I used my crock pot last week to make queso for football watching. When I pulled the insert out to put it in the dishwasher, I made the mistake of looking at it inside of the base of the crock pot. There's definitely mold in it. It feels
not mold in it.
Oh, sorry. I've been working on this reading. It's that cat thing still in my head. I'm thinking cat, this kid, the baby who's wearing cologne and... you did cover OxyClean.
Yeah, we got OxyClean.
Okay. All right. So, sorry, Mike. I know you're at home with your screwed up crock pot, and I'm just laughing and fucking cats. There's definitely not mold in it. It feels more like burnt stuff. But should I be worried? And how is the best way that Mike should clean this? Thanks. Not cap thanks, just regular thanks Mike gave us.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, just regular thanks. Okay. Mike, no, you should not worry. You should not worry. The crock pot will be perfectly fine if you never clean it. But if you'd like to clean it, I'm going to tell you how. Basically, what's happened is you've gotten a scorch mark on the base of the crock pot. So you, the insert pulls out, and then you've got the base of the crock pot that has the heating element in it. And it's gotten a scorch mark. Now, this is no big deal. It's really not going to affect the integrity of the crock pot. Maybe over time, but, you know, crock pot also has a lifespan at some point. It's gonna conk out. excuse me, I just swallowed wrong. but if the scorch mark bothers you, it's actually a pretty easy thing to clean. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to get Adobe Pad, David Cho's favorite cleaning tool. David Cho.
I know. Yeah.
You know David Cho.
What's the Adobe Pad?
Adobe Pads are a 3M sponge that is encased with a scratch a non-scratch netting.
Whoa.
So it's an excellent scouring sponge because it will scour very, very well, but it will not scratch a surface.
Awesome.
And in the case of the crockpot insert, which is metal and aluminum, you don't want to be scrubbing at it with anything abrasive like one of those 3M Scotch-Brite, the yellow and green ones. You don't want to use that. You don't obviously don't use steel wool. It's just going to scratch up the interior of the base, and also it's going to feel and sound horrible when you're doing it. Yeah, it's going to be like chewing tinfoil. Like, don't do that. I know it's terrible. So don't do that. So the Adobe Pad is what the tool that you want to use. And for your scrubbing agent, you either want to use Bon Ami, Barkeeper's Friend, or just regular old baking soda. Dilute those with a little bit of water. Or just get your Adobe wet and squeeze it out and then sprinkle the powder on it and then just scrub, scrub, scrub away. Now, one tip to give you that's going to make this even more effective is to scrub out the crock pot while it's still hot. However, I need you to be really mindful of your hands and I need you to not burn yourself. So that tip comes from my friend Leslie Stockton from The Wire Cutter. She runs the test kitchen for The Wire Cutter. She showed me how to scrub stainless steel pans. And the method that she uses is she heats the pan up pretty, pretty hot. And she uses a regular sponge and baking soda. And she had me into the test kitchen one day and we did it. And it was amazing. Like, the pan stainless steel came out looking like new. So that same technique will work really well for the crock pot. You just do need to be mindful not to burn yourself, obviously. So that's a tip. Also, just to tease an upcoming episode, Leslie is going to join me in November for an episode all about table linens and getting common holiday stains out of your table linens. It will be, I promise you, much more fun than it sounds. She is doing a guide to the best napkins for the wire cutter for holiday time. She interviewed me as an expert because one of the criteria she tested on was how well stains came out of the napkins. So she had me advise her basically on like what series of stains to make on the napkins and what products to use to try to remove the stains. And then I went to the office another day and she like interviewed me all about cleaning. And I'm probably going to be writing a companion article on common holiday stain removal. So she and I are going to sort of like double team this episode and bring both of our expertise to it. And Leslie's fun and great. And so we'll get weird.
Go back to the crock pot. Should you wear like gloves or some kind
of... Yeah, not a bad idea. Actually, you know what would be great to wear while you're... Although, it might get wet. You could wear a rubber household glove. That would definitely protect it. Something like the Ove glove.
I don't know those?
So it's like an oven mitt, but it's a glove instead of a mitten, you know? So that would be great. You'd have to wash it after because obviously it would get wet and baking soda-y. But no biggie. I mean, you can wash those. So there are your instructions. And on that note, we're about ready to wrap this baby up and go record what will be probably a very spirited bonus episode.
I have that feeling.
Yeah, I mean, this was already pretty spirited. Oh, one other thing. I just looked into my show notes and I want to ask you guys for something. So since we just did a queso related question, I want to ask you guys for your queso recipes.
Ooh.
Yeah, send me your queso recipes and I'll round them up and maybe I'll share them Maybe I'll see if I can do a food spin.
Those are fun.
That would be great. Yeah. So I'll tell you what my queso recipe is. My queso recipe is like the standard Texas queso recipe that I was taught by my college roommate, who was also one of my sorority sisters, who was from Houston. So this is like I got this straight from a real Texan. So when we were in college, you couldn't get Rotel. Do you know what Rotel is? Yeah.
I know the name. But...
Okay. So Rotel is diced tomatoes that that are seasoned, and they have some chilies in them, cut up chilies in them. And there are a couple of different varieties of them. Basically, the standard is chopped up tomato seasoning. Well, that's what Rotel is. So when we were in college in the 90s, Rotel wasn't sold. It wasn't sold in New York. It wasn't sold really on the East Coast. And her mom, Catherine's mom, used to ship her a case of Rotel like once a semester.
That's awesome.
And so she taught me to make queso. And the way that I was taught was you get a block of Velveeta and you put it in a crock pot or in a pot on the stovetop. And then you dump in the Rotel and you know, if it's on the stovetop, you just stir it until it melts. If it's the crock pot, you just turn it on low and let it go. And that is I've served that queso since the 90s, you know, since I learned to make it. But I know that some people really consider that to be blasphemy. And they're like, no, like I make, you know, queso blanco and it's this, you know, they have all the fancy cheeses and all this kind of stuff. So I want to hear all the different, I'm just interested. I'm not, you know, I'm not wedded. I mean, my way is my way because that was how I was taught by a Texan. But like, I'm also open to other quesos. I'll go all sorts of different ways with my queso. So send me your best queso recipes and I'll make some for Sam.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But unless you own a cat or put perfume on your child, please do not contact for queso recipes.
I love it. All right. On that note, that'll do it for this episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. Sam, thank you so much for
Thank you
being
for having
here.
Me.
Of course. This is awesome. I want to have you back.
No.
Yes.
Then I'll say I hate dogs. And
I'll have you back with Giddy.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
And not Sammer.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Well. I feel like at some point Samer will come around. He really seemed like terrified of the idea of coming on the show. And I don't want to scare anyone.
Well, this is we're writers.
Yeah.
That's why we write.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's why I draw.
Right.
Obviously, from what I've said tonight, I'm going to go back to drawing.
You're fine. You're really fine. All right, you guys, if you like what you heard today, please consider becoming a patron by going to patreon.com/askacleanperson and selecting one of the amazing rewards I'm offering to my listeners. I would also love it if you would subscribe on Acast or iTunes, leave a rating, and tell your pals about this weird little cleaning show that you love so much. And of course, thanks to you, my listeners, for joining me for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.